if they get a paycheck, if they have Social Security taken out, for example, they're never going to get that unless they become citizens. They're already paying plenty of taxes in. They're paying sales taxes on purchases and things like that. And so there are some local levels of government that have said that non-citizens can vote in these elections, but they cannot vote in presidential or federal elections. It's only there because, again, the strategy is that if we let these people whose skin color is darker than ours, if we give them more power, it will hurt us, apparently. And so we need you to make them think, we need you to think that they are committing crimes and that they are voting in such numbers as to dilute your vote when there is nothing that indicates that whatsoever. And so not only are they trying to scare you about non-citizens voting, they're trying to scare you that fellow citizens who are Democrats are voting, which is why you're seeing in states like Georgia, groups that are trying to once again purge the voter files. You saw that effort in Wisconsin recently, again, between the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty and other groups looking to have people stricken from the voter rolls without evidence that they are no longer eligible to vote, and where there is already a process to clean up the voter files as people move away or pass away. And in all of that that I just said, in all of that about non-citizens voting, about being against immigrants, about scaring people about crime, about cleaning up the voter rolls, all these things Republicans and right-wing groups are doing, anywhere in all of that, did you hear any ideas about how to improve your life? Did you hear any ideas about how to grow jobs, invest in the infrastructure, make college more affordable, make healthcare more affordable? You did not, because when you can't win on your ideas, you scare people or you cheat. Chad Holmes is coming up next. You're up north.
This is the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident you're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Chad Holmes sneaking in under the wire. Thought you were going to get a note this week, buddy. How are you?
I didn't have the link this week. I double and triple checked it. I didn't have it this week.
Neither did Brittany, Pat.
Oh, Pat. Well,
I was making sure you it wasn't me.
I want to go back to something. Pat, you made a comment at the top of the 7 o'clock hour, something about the fact that you had a bunch of days off from work, and it would look weird that if you had another day off, but you are sick. If you're not feeling well, no one's going to begrudge you not feeling well. It's okay.
I would begrudge me.
That's not my problem. I don't begrudge.
I know.
It stinks. It's horrible. People, I don't think people realize when you talk for a living, and it's sort of like Usain Bolt having a pulled hamstring. It just, yes, you can't perform, and it's and I feel for you. I've been there, especially with when you have a sports broadcast. I mean, I remember one night And we have a couple of times a year where we have basketball doubleheaders, and it happened to be one of those nights where by the second game, I had no voice, and I still cringe. It was frankly embarrassing by the time we got done, because, I mean, no matter what I did at that point, because you have to talk all the time, there's no breaks except for maybe a 30-second break here and there. But no, I think that you know, you're fighting it out, and hopefully we can get through the last few minutes here and get you out of here.
Well, here I wish you to mention that Brittany didn't have the link. I would have at least gotten it to Chad here. But the thing is, what I need Greg to do every so often is he needs to just send a note saying, Pat, at the top of your show notes every day is a checklist. Follow the checklist. It says, do you have the date right? Did you create a link? Did you send the link? Did you write a show title and description? Did you do this day in history? Did you pick your bumper music? And some days I get so busy, I don't look at the checklist. Can you imagine if a pilot said, I'm busy. Let's just get this thing going, pal. I should do better. Greg, send me more notes saying, check your checklist.
I will do that, my friend. I will do that.
Oh, man. Enough self-regulation here. Come on.
Whoa. I hope he said that right. I'm not quite sure.
I don't think I did. But
how was your holiday weekend?
It was great, actually. It was just a gorgeous weekend here. I said to yesterday was the Wausau Labor Day Parade, and I ran into the mayor of Wausau, and I said, well, this was a Chamber of Commerce weekend, because I don't think you're going to have three more perfect days than we had. And then yesterday, the parade, it was a wonderful event. I think it was the best crowd that I've seen in all the years I've been announcing, and I've been doing this for quite a while. So it was fantastic. It was great to see a few of the folks around yesterday. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you couldn't have asked for a much better weekend here in central Wisconsin.
No, it was gorgeous. I mean, did you do anything indulgent at all? Do you have a hammock or anything?
Well, Saturday I had a football game, so that kind of was the whole afternoon, you know. And then Sunday I just sort of laid around.
Okay.
And then Monday I went to the parade. So, I mean, it was like I was more than happy. And actually my big project was my kitchen was getting to the point where it was kind of being embarrassing. So I just said, well, let's get out the grease cleaner and go around the stove. So a very exciting weekend for myself. So people, you know, it's all glory, you know, in the broadcast business here. So no, it was a very, very calm weekend. I'll say that much.
I discovered my next hammock. So I was at this house my friends have up in Regina in Saskatchewan. They've dug created a man-made lake about 100 yards long, about 30 yards wide, and they've got a pulley system on it, or a winch or whatever, a cable system. And so you can really get, I didn't do this, but you can really get going on a wakeboard or a tube or anything like that. And they'd pull people back and forth. Looked like a lot of fun, but they also put in a bunch of sand and created a beach on there. Some beach chairs, campfire, but they also had a hammock. And I know these aren't new, but I've never been in one of those hammocks. All of our hammocks have been like the traditional cargo net type thing. And this was one of those where you basically fall into it and it's like a pea pod. And some of them you can zip up. This one did not. But you can still pretty much cover yourself up in this like pea pod type of hammock. And the next thing I remember is Sherry and our friends James and Kim going, wow, you are really out. Because I'd been up sick most of the night before. And apparently I snored all through the afternoon.
I remember as a kid watching Gilligan's Island and thinking I would never be able to stay in those hammocks because you had Gilligan on top and then Skipper right below.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And I'm thinking I would never be able to get into the hammock. I'd never be able to get out of the hammock without falling on the ground because I know myself. I'm not very talented with that kind of stuff.
I will say, yes, my getting out of it the first time was entertaining. Not to me, to everybody else that was watching. It was very entertaining. But it's just such a nice, you know, being up there. It was our second visit to Saskatchewan up there on the prairie. And it really is nice. I don't begrudge them one bit, but forgive the Dorothy reference. But, man, there is no place like home. Got home last night, and you said it was a picture-perfect weekend. We're sitting there. We're looking out on Lake Wissota. and just, you know, sometimes not fully appreciating how damn gorgeous it is up here sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. But did you buy any Saskatchewan Rough Rider gear and bring it back?
Their big game was while we were there, their big rivalry game with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And it was a big deal. Here, you know about the 50-50 sports raffles at these big events, and that jackpot can get to be really big. Well, the one for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders of the Canadian Football League, their 50-50 raffle, anybody who lives in the province, you don't have to be at the game. You can join online with your credit card. You make a donation to whatever the cause is, and you're in. So I remember being at a brewery game a couple weeks back, and the jackpot, I think, was, what was it, $50,000 maybe? I don't know. This was $500,000. I know. So basically,
it didn't matter if the Rough Riders won. Somebody was going to be up big.
Somebody was going to win. But yeah, it was. There were all these folks in Winnipeg gear around town. And much like with the Packers, when the other team comes in, everybody's nice about it. You know, you don't have to be jerks to opposing fans.
No, not at all.
You know,
frankly, it's like one reason I haven't gone to a Packer game in a long time. It's just, it's too much for me. I'll sit home and watch in front of the TV.
The non-confrontational Chad Holmes.
Exactly.
He has his show next on Bull Falls Radio and Mr. Bach, and nothing but the dulcet tones of Mr. Bach coming up at Tuesday, coming up at 10 a.m.
Yes.
I'm going to go have some of this cold pizza right now and say thank you to today's guest, Christina Laurie, and Chad Holmes, and all of you for putting up with all of this. I'm going to take a 22-hour break from talking, and we'll see how things look at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 87-year-old Pope Francis has arrived in Indonesia, part of the longest international tour he's ever taken. He will visit Papua New Guinea, East Timor, and Singapore as well. President Biden putting more pressure on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and on Hamas to agree to a ceasefire deal to release all the hostages still being held by Hamas. Here's ABC News Senior White House Correspondent Selena Wang.
President Biden and his team have been trying to negotiate one for months, and it is clear now that the president's patience is running out. Biden flat out said that Netanyahu is not doing enough to get a deal done that would release the hostages.
Heat wave in Southern California and parts of the Southwest again this week. They could get a long stretch of days when the temperature hits 100 degrees or more. The hotel strike continues. Thousands of unionized workers on the picket lines asking for higher pay and a return to pre-pandemic staffing levels. Hyatt, Hilton, and Marriott, some of the chains affected. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Talk of separating the University of Wisconsin in Madison from the rest of the UW system is sounding more serious. A legislative study committee on the future of Wisconsin State Universities talked about it Friday. Some committee members say the UW-Madison has needs and challenges that no other UW schools have. Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz telling a Labor Day crowd of supporters in Milwaukee that Kamala Harris is part of the most pro-union administration in American history.
From sticking up for workers to voting for fair legislation to walking picket lines, she was there with workers every step of the way.
President Biden comes to Westby on Thursday, and Donald Trump travels to Mosinee on Saturday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WLCX. President Biden is coming to the La Crosse area. The White House confirms the president will make a stop in Westby on Thursday. It's Biden's first Wisconsin visit since he dropped out of the presidential race in July. Donald Trump was in La Crosse last week for a town hall-style campaign event. The White House says President Biden will talk about prescription drug costs, clean energy, and advanced manufacturing. The National Weather Service is confirming two tornadoes touched down in western Wisconsin from storms the night of August 29th. The first tornado touched down about 3 miles west of Beldenville in Pierce County. It traveled about 6.5 miles in 9 minutes before dissipating near Black River Falls. The second tornado struck near Interstate 94 in eastern St. Croix County. That one tracked for 1 mile and lasted for 2 minutes. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Milwaukee's leading the pack. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. The Brewers have a 10-game lead in the division after Labor Day thanks to a 9-3 win over the Cardinals yesterday. Jackson Chourio hit a grand slam to help Milwaukee get the victory. The Brewers and Cardinals play Game 2 of their series tonight. The NFL season kicks off on Thursday with the Chiefs and Ravens. On Friday, the Green Bay Packers will play the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. It's the first time that an NFL game will be played in that country. Wide receiver Christian Watson said he's not sure what to expect out of the trip.
Just to be locked in, dialed in. The number one message this week has been the details. If we focus in on the fundamentals and the details and, we go out there, we're going to be able to execute. You know, we know we got the players to do everything and accomplish everything that we need to. We handle the details and just, let everything else fall in place.
Kickoff between the Packers and Eagles will be after 7 p.m. Friday night. And this week is the start of conference season in high school football. You can find one of nearly a dozen games right here on Civic Media Thursday and Friday. And with sports, I'm Jimmy Cusca.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 55. Tomorrow, sunshine, 81. We do have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Wake up. Breakfast. And Nature Made Vitamins. Whatever your morning sounds like, Nature Made fits right in. Whether you're looking for vitamin C or a multivitamin to get key nutrients, we've got you covered. Now that's a good morning. We take care of you so you can take on your day. Start your day with Nature Made, the number one pharmacist recommended vitamin and supplement brand. Based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident you're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, Mandela Barnes with an update on how Wisconsinites can sign up now for big rebates that'll improve their homes and lower their utility bills.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
dig it.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. Rested from the long weekend. How are you?
Not rested from the long weekend.
Yeah.
But But I'm feeling fine, man. You know why?
Why is that?
It's Tuesday.
Oh.
To steal a line from Calvin, it's one day closer to the weekend.
Always feels good.
Almost midweek.
Yeah, it is. And so if you don't know by now, it's my co-host Sandy Williams. You are in beautiful.
I'm in Cape Cod, a place called Orleans Beach. I've got a sister who lives out here, and my sisters and I have gathered here for sort of a family reunion. It's beautiful. It's great weather, great view, great place.
Well, it's good to have you here. Tell the family I said hello.
I will do so. I'll do so.
All right. You know, I had the pleasure. I had the pleasure of meeting your sisters a couple of years ago. They came here to the studio, man. It was great to see them.
Yeah, we get together every year. A couple of years ago, we got together in Milwaukee. I had to bring them out there to see you.
Yeah.
They wanted to see where this all happened, you know?
Well, where all
what
of...
causes this? I say, what the hell? What causes this?
Anyway, man, it's good to see you.
So, Earl, on long weekends, you normally have grilled something someplace. Oh, you know, did you have to stand in front of a fire for a long time?
Yes, I did. I had all my nieces and nephews and people from my wife's side of the family there as well.
Those are called outlaws.
And I haven't done it in such a long time, Sandy, and I'll tell you, I'm getting older. That wonderful, wonderful, what do you call it? The thing that you wear over you, the apron.
That you
gave me. Everybody was glowing about that wonderful apron, man. It really does keep the heat off. It works.
Well,
and so
you have to wear clothes. You have to wear clothes under it, though, Earl. That's why they were so curious about it.
It's the gift. It's the gift that keeps giving, right?
I hope so.
Yeah, well, it does. Well, Sandy, there's a lot to talk about, as always, man. I want to begin with, you're out in Cape Cod. This is a story that, I don't know, man, people just, do you believe in UFOs?
I don't, you know, I've suspended belief or suspended disbelief. You know, it's one of those things. There's so many phenomena that can fool you into thinking that's what you're seeing, but there have been so many sightings and so much going on. You know, as long as they don't threaten me, they're fine.
Hey, Calvin, you believe in UFOs?
I go back and forth. I'm now in a stage of leaning towards there might be something, but the U.S. government probably is not in possession of anything.
Well, I would think if there was something, the U.S. government would be in possession of it. But the operative word is if there was something. Belief in aliens. Go ahead,
secrets, Sam. Secrets that big are impossible. You know, if someone knew for sure, secrets that big are impossible to keep for a long time. It's part of our DNA. You know, you have to tell the rest of a hive what you know that might be so very important. And my sense is that if anyone knew, they could not keep the wraps on it very long.
No, you know, it would be very difficult. And so imagine, I'm just an average guy. Well, the average Joes, they're not going to get to, but, and you got this secret and you've got to hold that in 365 days. You know, a year and decade in, decade out, you've got to hold that secret. Kind of an impossible thing to ask anybody to do, right?
I think so. I'm So that's what persuades me that nobody knows at this point, but that still leaves open the possibility that there is. That's why I say I got suspended belief and suspended disbelief. I just don't know. And until we know, you know, it's not, and until we know, or until someone lands in my backyard and threatens me, I'm okay with not knowing.
So Tony says UFOs 100%, aliens 50-50. So belief in alien visits to Earth is spiraling out of control, and why that's so dangerous. Now, Sandy, here's some interesting, you know, information. And this is where the internet and people who are so caught up in the internet and get all of their information and news from the internet. Let me read this quickly. The idea that aliens may have visited the Earth is becoming increasingly popular. Around a fifth of UK citizens believe the Earth has been visited by extraterrestrials, and an estimated 7% believe that they have seen a UFO. That's in UK. But the loonies in America, the figures are even higher. In U.S., the number of people who believe UFO sightings offer likely proof of alien life increased from 20% in 1996 to 39% in 2022. Some 24% of Americans say they've seen a UFO. Sandy, oh. I see the look on your face. I wonder if they
reminded myself of that famous painting called The Scream, you know. Huh?
Yeah. Oh my God. So I'm wondering if people had been, you know, hanging out at the bar much when you say the number is that high.
Well, I think a lot of those people probably believe that Elvis Presley is on that UFO.
So,
and that John F. Kennedy Jr. is driving the thing. The internet creates the potential for people to believe whatever it is that either entertains them or comforts them in terms of what to believe. This is evidence of how far from at least a proven reality people can get based on sort of unfiltered news and unfiltered information.
You know, Sandy, this again just goes to show, as you stated, we don't, with all the different solar systems that exist, to think that, you know, if you really thought it through scientifically, you would have to almost say to scientists, basically, are saying, come on, this is an impossible thing, alien life and all those kind of things. And based on their scientific belief and research, I don't know why we totally dismiss scientists, Sandy.
Well, I think the scientists are most of them are saying, well, you know, the universe is infinitely, beyond infinitely large. And so the possibility or the probability that life exists somewhere else in the universe is probably very high. The issue is whether that life has gotten here, you know, to planet Earth. That's what we're talking about here. I mean, you know, whether there are life forms. I mean, they're finding the ingredients for life on Mars. They're finding water, you know, subterranean water in Mars. They're finding the ingredients that could support carbon-based life, much like the sort we have. The issue isn't, I don't think, whether life might exist somewhere else. The question is, has that life found its way proximate to Earth? That's what has me scratching my head.
So Tony says, have you seen Trump? Come on, man. Aliens have clearly landed. Hey, Tony, let us do the comedy, man. Anyway, go ahead, Sandy.
And they are orange. Yeah, who knew?
You know, belief in a cover-up is even higher than belief in alien visitation. In 2019, the Gallup poll found that a staggering 69% of Americans believe that the U.S. government knows more about UFOs than it's telling. This political trend has been decades in the making. Jimmy Carter promised document disclosure during his presidential campaign in 1976. I remember that. They thought Jimmy Carter was nuts. And but really.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter.
He said he saw a UFO, but I would say, Sandy, again. Another
Jimmy Carter, incidentally, I thought of this over the weekend. You know, there's the famous swamp rabbit incident with right. Jimmy Carter. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember.
He was out fishing and So, you know, Jimmy got a lot of bum raps for, you know. There's actually videos of this rabbit swimming after his boat. But, you know, the notion of a cover-up and the notion that we believe in a cover-up is probably far more factually based, at least based on precedent, right? Because the American public has been subjected to lots of cover-ups. And I think it's that experience that causes many of us to make a leap of faith to believe that there are things that exist that we don't know, that our government knows, that they aren't telling us. Because, you know, it's not irrational to think that the government is covering up information. The only irrational part of that is imagining what it is they might be covering up.
Well, right? You know,
because it leaves us open to the full range of our imagination.
Well, Roswell, and as long as that's been going on, you know, it, like you said, it's opens your imagination, and Roswell has spurned a whole lot of movies that makes one believe, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with secrets and lying. You know, there's a lot of homilies about lying and what lying does to credibility and what it does to the people on the other side of it. So,
All right.
The government lies, or the government prevaricates, withholds.
844-967-2789. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. You can join us.
Eagle 1490 AM.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
School.
That sounds like Aretha Franklin.
It's Aretha Franklin. All about going back to school. That's what's happening today for lots of kids. Lots of college kids, lots of grade school kids.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy. So, Sandy, it is back to school time. I was thinking about this. I was telling my wife last evening. It's been a while since we've had to prepare in our household to send somebody back to school. And I remember always just that, you know, excitement, not just for the students, children, but for the parents as that night before, and you know, there was this something going on in the house that was different. And hey, school's ramping back up, and there's this excitement and energy that leading up to the first day back to school, but it burns off very quickly.
Sure. I can remember well, though, pulling on that new pair of Wigwam wool socks and my new pair of Converse All-Star gym basketball shoes, and I'm getting ready to go off to school with a new shirt and a pair of pants. Like, you know, everyone got sort of new set of clothing to start off the new school year. And you're right, the excitement lasts about 36 hours, and then the reality for the kid at school sets back in again. And yeah, okay,
you know,
summer's over.
We got a guy who's closer to that than you and I. Hey Calvin, you remember, man? You know that it you're not so far removed. First day back.
Yeah. My last first day of school was only 3 years ago. So yeah, I remember well.
Well, I mean, different in college than it was high school and middle school.
Yeah, it's definitely different in college. College is a little more, you might not have class till 1 o'clock in the afternoon type of deal. But in high school, it's definitely, I think by high school, you're kind of over going to school, but elementary school, you're definitely, it's an exciting time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely is, Sandy. But, you know, grandkids and all of those things, just always an exciting time. We got a guy, Sandy, who hasn't been able to let his time going back to school go. Mike from Kenosha. Hey, good morning to you, Mike. How you doing, sir?
the first day of school? Yeah. What am I sitting in the classroom for? Oh, my gosh, I'm in the wrong month. No, hey, I just wanted to share with you very quickly. Thanks for taking my call. What a beautiful morning. I had the chance to sit down with an Area 51 sentry guard. And I'd be happy to share with you his very quick summary, if you're interested.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
UFOs. Oh, yeah.
He
just to remind the public,
first of all,
just to remind the public, Area 51 is that Roswell, New Mexico area, right?
No, Area 51 is Nevada.
Yeah, Nevada.
Roswell, New Mexico.
Nevada, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah.
Go ahead,
so
Mike.
Anyway, I was brought in by a chaplain for Davis-Monthan Air Force. Who his role is to sit down, listen to people, listen to veterans, and basically let them vent. And he invited me in for an appointment that he had with this Area 51 sentry guy. So we were able to meet, and he talked about, subterranean levels. He had been as far below subterranean as 5 levels. He said, each level, as you go down into the earth, it's higher grade of higher sophistication of technology and that type of thing. He talked about 3 different size of aliens, small, medium, and large. He talked about them coming back every 15 years to help nudge us along. They want us to figure it out for themselves. It was fascinating. And that 8-hour, ended up being 8-hour conversation with this guy. Seemed like 8 minutes. It was fascinating, riveting. And he also, last thing I'll say about this real quick, unless you have some questions, he believes that Earth, for whatever reason, is very, very critical in the solar system. The health of the Earth is very important to the aliens. So they're here almost as a protector. Of Earth, because for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, Earth is critical in the health of the ecology of Earth.
The aliens are here as protectors of the Earth?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They
all right.
Here to protect the Earth. Yep. According to him.
So
he's very credible. He's a very credible soldier.
So if they come every 15 years, Mike, do they look like locusts? I'm kidding.
Or do they look like those
cicadas?
Cicadas. Yeah. No, Mike. So let me ask you. You say five levels beneath the earth. I guess what makes it so, you know, hard to imagine or believe is, in our minds, Sandy, we've got these ideas of what Hollywood says aliens look like. Mike, is it safe to say that that's probably why it's hard for people to imagine? We're thinking aliens look like the alien monster that Hollywood created.
Well, sure. And many believe, by the way, that dimensions exist. You know, they're here now in front of us. But there are a lot of people that believe that you know, it's just a different dimension. They're here, but we just don't see it. But real quick, as far as the sizes, again, they have small, medium, large. Small are completely robots. Mediums are hybrid between robots and humans. And the tall grays are humanoid, according to this Area 51 Sentry Guard.
Whoa.
Mike.
Well, the only operative word in there that gives me caution is people believe, right? So the belief is different than knowing. And so that's my concern about all this. But you've talked to someone who might have some knowledge. So, yeah.
Hey, so Tony says the aliens aren't in Middle Earth. That's where the hobbits are.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. Sandy, on the other side, we're going to talk about unions. And it was Labor Day yesterday, in which, you know, Civic Media was present at Labor Fest in Milwaukee. So 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It's not just Wisconsin. Doctors have seen more than 2,000 cases of mosquito-borne illnesses across the country. Dr. Peter Hotez is founding dean of the National School of Tropical Medicine at Baylor University. He tells ABC News he's especially concerned about the deadly triple E virus.
That's a much rarer disease. We typically will only see, you know, a handful of cases a year, but we are seeing several serious cases.
Two people died of West Nile virus this summer in Wisconsin. Wisconsin lawmakers meet this week to continue to hammer out the state's Sandhill Crane Plan. The Legislative Study Committee on Sandhill Cranes meets tomorrow. The committee plans to come up with a package of bills for lawmakers to vote on next year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WLCX. A two-day pretrial hearing is underway in Winona for Adam Fravel. He's accused of killing the mother of his children in March of last year. They didn't find Madeline Kingsbury's body until more than 2 months later. Lawyers on both sides are expected to spend these 2 days arguing for and against pieces of evidence or certain testimony. Fravel is pleading not guilty. His trial begins October 7th in Mankato and is expected to last a month. West Salem Cares held its street dance fundraiser Sunday. The event featured live music, kids' activities, a basket raffle, and vendors with sidewalk sales. Teams of West Salem businesses competed in different challenges. Winners received a traveling trophy. West Salem Cares has donated more than $27,000 in the past 3 years for food or gas vouchers, rent assistance, and other essentials. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're a celebrity, every summer is the summer to get drunk in the Hamptons and run off the road. But this is the summer to get caught doing so. First, it was Justin Timberlake, and now we'll add disgraced TV host Matt Lauer's daughter, Rami, to the list. Page Six reports that Rami, 20 years old and an avid equestrian, went off the road in the early morning hours of July 5th and fled the scene, but left a license plate behind. Someone should have told her that horses don't need license plates. The hat worn by Harrison Ford in the movie Indiana Jones Temple of Doom recently sold in an auction for $630,000. The hat was showcased early in the film when Jones and Short Round jumped from a plane about to crash. The high cost for the hat was much more than other celebrity items that were auctioned off, such as Justin Timberlake's French toast that went for just over $1,000 in 2000, or Scarlett Johansson's used tissue from The Tonight Show in 2008. True stories. Check them out.
For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weekdays from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 55. Tomorrow, sunshine, 81. We do have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time. I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, Mandela Barnes with an update on how Wisconsinites can sign up now for big rebates that'll improve their homes and lower their utility bills.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring goes the bell. The cook in the lunchroom's ready to sell. You're lucky if you can...
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, yesterday was Labor Day, and I always say to people, I'm a big union guy. I spent 34 years in a union, and Labor Day means a lot to me and many union workers, fellow union workers. It's certainly provided in many of our beliefs a middle class living for us and our families, and paved the way for us to be able to live the American dream. And I never will forget, at 18 years old, I walked into the union reality and didn't leave it until I was 52 years of age. And it's the gift that keeps giving through the pensions that we receive, Sandy. But I really want to say this, and then we can have the dialogue. You know, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and Democratic presidents and high-ranking Democrats know the importance and the value of the union, because they're always out and about during union, Sandy, during Labor Day. I don't know if that ever occurred with Republicans. I can't remember as much, but I do know that with Democrats, politically, they understand labor. They understand the importance of organized labor. And it's been something that they've utilized. And so yesterday, as Kamala Harris was in Pittsburgh, Tim Walz was in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, and they were rallying labor. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance took the day off. What's the difference, Sandy? I mean, can you explain to me? Because I don't understand that.
Well, I think J.D. Vance learned a lesson last time he appeared before a labor group. He got booed. So maybe they get it. You know, maybe they understand who has what interest in mind. I think what's most interesting about Labor Day this year is the fact that the situation and the economy right now begs for labor organization. We have a bunch of people living in the middle class who take two salaries in order to get to the middle class. Median incomes of $70,000 with two breadwinners, meaning that neither one of them likely has a job that gets them to the middle class like union jobs used to in 1970 and 1980. So I think our economy is begging for much broader unionization because too many companies have business models that are premised on paying their workers too little. And it's been enabled by this joint family workforce, two breadwinners. But it's not sustainable. And we have, you know, the median individual income in this country is about $45,000, which is not a middle class income by a long shot. It's about half of a middle class income. And so, you know, unions serve their role. There was this broad kind of movement against unions as businesses moved to the South and then jobs moved abroad. We now have lots of jobs in the United States and lots of businesses, which are obviously premised on paying workers not quite enough.
You know, Sandy, these statistics will bear out what it is you just said. And I said yesterday as I was around all those union members, and I was talking with a guy, and I did a lot of interviews yesterday that we're going to be playing back over this week. And I ran into a guy, a good friend of mine, Bruce Colborn, who was right there at the beginning of Labor Fest. And for those who don't know what Labor Fest is, it's a bunch of trade unions, basically, Sandy, who are organized, and they all meet up at Zeitler Park, beautiful park in downtown Milwaukee, and then they march down to the Summerfest grounds and have a great family event and are generally great speakers. 4 years ago, it was Joe Biden. Yesterday, it was Tim Walz as the keynote speakers, but congresspeople, senators, all the rest of them are always there, mayor, county executive. So labor is understood, Sandy. If you are in the political game, Sandy, in the political arena, it would behoove you to be connected to labor. But the Republicans choose not to do that. So let me give some statistics, and then we'll go to the phone lines. So this is a Sandy statistics, labor union membership among U.S. workers, and this is the calendar year 2021-22. All U.S. workers, only 12% of the population is in labor union. I was really taken aback by that number, Sandy. When I started working in 1972, that number was about 38-39% of Americans. It's only 12 now. 12% of men, 11% of women, ages 18 to 34, only 8%. 18 to 34 young people who are starting out, who need to make some money, only 8% of them are in unions. 35 to 54, 12%. 55 and older, 16%. Education, Sandy, this is what really kind of blew my mind. Postgraduate degrees, 18% of those in unions have postgraduate degrees. College graduate only, 12% of college's graduates are in unions. 11% some college, high school or less, 8%. Household income, $100,000 or more, 15% are in unions. 40 to 99,999 dollars, 12%. Less than $40,000 a year, only 6% are in unions. So Sandy, party affiliation, 11% Republicans, 13% Independents, 11% are Democrats. So Sandy, what that says is that the people who are more educated somehow wind up in the unions.
Well, I think you can account for that probably with the teachers and, you know, the people, the percentage of unionized people in this country are lean in the direction of public employees and not private employees.
Right.
I don't know what the ratio is, but I believe that significantly more than half of the unionized workers in this country are public employees and not private employees, private industry employees. And I think all of the macro data about what's happened to the middle class of America suggests that too many business models in this country for too many private industries are founded on the notion that you'll pay a worker less than a living middle income wage, an individual worker, and you'll put them in the push them in the direction of having to be a two breadwinner family, meaning that, you know, child daycare is a necessity. Meaning that many of these workers don't get benefits paid for at work and need to pay for them themselves, so that that combined income is essentially before they pay for benefit costs, whereas the unionized job, most of them have a paycheck that comes after they have received a benefit level. So, and similarly, in 1970, when we got paid, our income that we took home was really after the benefits, after the accrual for our pension, after the healthcare deductions that might have been made to cover us for healthcare. So things have changed, and they beg for employees to have more leverage than they currently have, because obviously too many business models are premised on paying workers not enough. And that's the very circumstance that begs for organization. And, you know, industry is going to bring this on themselves. You know, when people want to raise the minimum wage from a totally unlivable $8 an hour or whatever it is in whatever state, and they want to raise it to a similarly untenable and unlivable $15 an hour, and there are businesses that come forward and say, yeah, we're going to have to fire people if you raise that minimum wage, that tells so much about the fact that these jobs aren't really living jobs. They're jobs that are taking advantage of people's incapacity to get any other job.
You know, Sandy, more than one in three workers employed by the government, one in three workers, 37% belong to a union versus 7% of all private sector employees. And that's what you were pointing to. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. I hope you had a great weekend. Yeah, you refused to answer my question that I had.
CJ, I don't know what question you're talking about. You know, you began the conversation where we refused to answer your question. Number one, I don't know what your question is. Number two, you called to respond to what we're talking about. You don't see a problem with that?
Well, I'll repeat the question.
No. I said you don't see a problem with you not responding to what we're talking about, and you want to call here and say we don't remember your question? We don't want to respond to your question as if this is the CJ show?
Wow, Earl, I thought you'd be in a better mood today. But
no, we want you just to respond. We want you to respond to the subject matter.
It is about unions, Earl. Can I just talk for a second? The fact is that what do you think the 20 million illegals is going to do to our unions? I am a proud member of three of them.
And CJ, that has nothing. I'm sorry. That has absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about. Absolutely nothing.